So, I'm going to ask you four questions, and the answer I've already told you. So we're all going to shout it as loud as we can. Once again, let's just practice. So I'm going to ask you a question, and you're going to say...
People power! All
right. So, and if you'd like to add a year at the end...
Right.
So, how are we going to stop Clear Channel?
People power!
How are we going to stop the NAB?
People power!
How are we going to stop the WTO?
People power!
I can just feel the love in the room.
But seriously, the reason why I just try to come up with a question and then an answer, the call and response thing is actually a really powerful thing in our communities, and it may not be considered using technology or it may not be considered media making, but it's part of our culture, and that's where we start. That's where we all have people power. As a young filmmaker, I can speak to you about experiences of actually trying to produce media and being shut down on individual levels, a systematic, you know, from the nonprofit industrial complex to looking for support from city government. I can speak to all of these different things as a young woman of color who, you know, is trying to produce media, not just with the idea of bridging the digital divide. It's great if young people of color have jobs in the tech industry, but if we're still hungry and our families are still not able to have health care, all of the things that we're working for, I just want to remind people to make those connections and also remember, even though media may be the specific tool, what is it that we're actually working towards? It'd be great if everyone was represented on television and the radio and we had more ownership of these things, but what else are we looking for? And that's something that I feel like is being a little bit left out here, so I just wanted to bring that up. I'm happy to answer any questions about anything on earth, but specifically here today, I definitely want to sort of put the word out there about the work that we're doing, both Heligato Productions, which is my production company, and Third World Majority. If you haven't had the opportunity to hear about some of the work that we're doing. We have just come out of organizing a national conference where we brought 20 organizations from all over the U.S., which is 46 people, to Oakland, California. We stayed in a big house for 3 days and made 20 movies. And I don't know if you know the power of young people being totally terrified of computers and being like, I'm not even going to turn it on, to, I'm a filmmaker, yo, I made this thing, you know, like, just to watch that happen and the connections that were made organizationally, interpersonally, in that 3 days is what we're doing. It's not just, okay, we taught some young people how to use Premiere and Photoshop. You can get that information anywhere, pretty much. But what we were allowed to do, and I say allowed because we never have the funding to do these things, but we managed to do it anyway, but what we were allowed to do in that weekend was make those connections in a real way. Folks could talk about their organizations and their personal relationships and why they're in those organizations and then walk down the street to get a hamburger together and actually like talk out these things rather than, you know, I read a book about something that happened in East Timor and how does that actually relate to young men being beaten in North Oakland? How does that relate to African Americans being targeted in Cincinnati? How does that relate to the Arab Cultural Center that's burnt down in Chicago? All of these different groups came together and were able to actually see the connections, not just theoretically sort of toss it out there and write more grants saying that, oh, we built coalition. They actually did build coalition. And so that's some of the work that we facilitate as young filmmakers, as young techies. We're starting to move into being able to do more web design. We're looking at audio production, but right now, the core of our work is centered around digital storytelling, which is making small movies, basically. So.
Before we move on, Oriana, can you say a little bit about how the community building is sustained, or if you have strategies for sustaining that community building among the various groups of young people that you train?
That's actually something that we're definitely working on. Part of the production angle, clearly, is then distribution and sort of, basically distribution. And I think that the way that we're able to use media making is actually establishing sustainable relationships where if if we're going to trade media practices and we're going to trade access to technology and we're going to trade this vision that we have in a way that's meaningful, what it actually means is we have to build these relationships. So if we're going to have community curated events, we can't just pick a community, run into it, have an event, and leave. We actually have to build relationships with older activists and organizers, with different community groups that may not be our particular issue or what we see as our movement. And that's part of the work that we do, is not isolating movements, not isolating individuals or organizations to be about one thing. If we're all talking about social justice, different aspects of social justice, how do we come together and put on the most exciting rally and show that has occurred in West Oakland? Or how do we, you know, how do we build in a way that is visible in our communities and also is relevant to our communities? It's great to have micro radio, but if you spend all of your time trying to get your kids to school and, you know, you work all day and you have all of these responsibilities and you're not actually looking for the micro radio station in your community, then all of the work that goes into that may not be relevant to folks in the community. So a lot of what we're doing is in development, is in progress. We spend a lot of time facilitating those relationships, and those relationships become what they need to become based on the context.
Maybe when we start talking more about the sort of external piece about getting diverse messages out into the world, if you have anything you want to talk about in terms of the media that the youth produce, how that might reach a broader audience down the road, something like that. But we should probably move on. So Art, you want to take it away?
Well, first of all, I'd just like to make a little suggestion for the duration of this panel. I want to sort of place a moratorium on the use of two terms, post 911 and digital divide. Let's just not use those terms. Because those are just two little pet peeves of mine that really get on my nerves. So we can just like try to refrain from, you know, come up with anything else. Let not use those. I'd really appreciate it. So I was having, you know, I've been thinking about sort of what I was going to talk about during this session, and I've been sort of having a little bit of difficulty trying to sort of figure out how I was going to frame my talk and what angle I was going to take with this. It was such a broad topic, media, movement, politics. There's a lot of different issues, both internally and externally. But I think for our discussion today, I think for myself, what I want to put forward, and it's sort of implicit in this whole gathering itself, but I don't know if it's really been talked about explicitly, is the possibility and potential of elevating the issue of media and communications to the level of a human right, similar to the way that a lot of activists in the progressive movement views the right to food, housing, clothing, shelter, et cetera, that looking at communications and media as something that is as essential to people's everyday lives as their other, you know, material, quote unquote, needs, that communication and media is sort of right along with that. And when I say media, I mean that specifically in terms of both access to sort of media in a consumer sense, but also access and a right to have access to actually make media, to actually have access to the ability to produce media. And that's something that I think there's an international movement that's slowly gaining steam around communications rights and media rights, but it's sort of less been focused on a lot less here in the United States. Most of that's based around Article 19 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which talks about media as being sort of an essential, the right to communicate as being an essential element of rights that people are, you know, that are enumerated in the Declaration along with the others that are more material based. And so I think that's something that I think for me is, I think in particular, to sort of open up a dialogue and to talk more about that. Because one of my frustrations about sort of in general about progressive activism and organizing is that I find myself extremely frustrated by dialogue that sort of centers on reform in a legislative sense. That essentially we are constantly banging our head against the wall, trying to convince this or that legislator of what's important. But it always dawns upon me that no matter what you do, say, for example, I was working with the Center for Third World Organizing. We were working on around the issue of welfare reform. And a lot of the work we were doing was around, you know, had a legislative focus. And it was about, you know, trying to deal with, you know, legislation around, you know, reauthorization for, you know, welfare. And one of my thoughts was about the fact that 10 years from now, there's going to be a new set of legislators, a lot of them probably right-wing legislators, and you're going to end up in the same position you are now, where they're going to try to demonize welfare mothers, people who are on welfare. They're going to try to change the law, and we're going to be back to the exact same place we're at. So what I want to do is sort of put these things out of their reach, to sort of elevate them to a level where they can't touch them anymore, so that we don't have to keep going in this cycle over and over of constantly fighting and worrying about which person's in office. You know, because if it's not Bush now, it'll be some other idiot, you know, a few years down the road. And so that's the thing for me, is like trying to sort of elevate these key issues to a level where there's, in a sense, untouchable, or at least much more difficult to alter and take back from people. And also in terms of the issue of human rights for around media and communication, I think in particular for a lot of marginalized communities, it's even more important. Because when you start talking about issues of self-determination, it becomes critically important that the ability to communicate is almost essential in being able to move forward different political issues. Without the ability to communicate, without access to media, essentially the marginalization is heightened. It's beyond just being poor or being black or being whatever, or being a woman, that without that ability to access and create media, and that you end up with, you're not only are you poor, black, a woman, etc., but now you can't even talk about it. You can't even communicate with other people about it. You can't even dialogue with people around how to, you know, change your immediate condition. And so that for me is like, you know, that whole issue of media and communications as something that's a right and not just something where we're sort of battling for the minor piece of legislation in this particular moment, but sort of taking it and putting it higher up on the shelf where the little greedy gremlins can't get at it. That's sort of where I'd like to sort of open up and start a bigger dialogue. Like I said, on an international level, this is sort of starting to blossom, but not as much in the United States.